My vision is clear, the future is here. Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to yet another episode of Botched Roll. I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from obviously thiswookingeek.net, but also terriblewarriors.com, where I am one of the many game masters and players of that terrible role-playing podcast. Should be a new episode featuring myself and my players coming up in, I think, just about 2 weeks, week and a half, depending. Either way, look for it in May. So, the last time on Boss Joel, we talked with RPG designer Owen Casey Stevens. And honestly, what a fantastic guy. Really had a good time talking with him. Kind of digging into the head of yet another developer in the RPG world. And well, today I bring you yet another story, or recollection of memories, if you will, involving my time playing some of the RPGs that I've had the fortune to been a part of over the years. And this one goes all the way back to high school. And this is something that I played with a bunch of my friends for years and years over LAN networks, over the MSN gaming zone, but also across the tabletop and even a card game. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Battletech, or MechWarrior, if you will. And this is, now, I originally got into the MechWarrior franchise because of the video games. I thought they were really, really, really cool. And when all the kids were so cool and we figured out how to crack CD keys and install complete games to our hard drives back in the good old days of Windows 98 SE, which is still my favorite operating system outside of maybe Windows XP Service Pack 2. MechWarrior 3 is one of the first games that I was given to run on my good old compact Presario, and boy did I push that motherfucker right to the wall. I fooled it into thinking it had a 3D graphics card. And surprisingly, it worked really, really, really well with this game. Because this particular game wasn't a beast on system resources, but when you had it cranked up, it could make your computer suck. But anyway, so this story starts with MechWarrior 3 and eventually ends in a lunchroom table in the good old cafeteria that I went to high school in with my friend Jared. And I call this the douchebag wars, in essence. So for those of you that aren't familiar, MechWarrior / Battletech used to be a game produced by FOSSA, the same guys who did Shadowrun. And it tells the story of a far future controlled by these giant robotic war machines called battle mechs, and how humanity has spread across the stars, but over the course of that time, we've lost access to some of the super advanced technology. And basically, there was a huge war. There are these guys called the Star League, or there was this thing called the Star League, had really, really advanced tech. And we lost control of it somehow, or something, if I'm probably getting a chunk of this wrong. But either way, eventually, there'd be other factions, people like the House Davian, House Kurita, House Steiner. Basically, there'd be all these different factions. And there was a religious sect called the Word of Blake, which was basically, they controlled a lot of this really high tech, but they also were the only ones who knew how to operate the comm network. And basically, getting around the galaxy is a bit of a trick. So, in the past, in this game, a group of settlers broke off and formed their own, basically, empire, so to speak. And they called themselves the clans, and they'd be based after great military personnel, or basically, you know, they didn't like the way things were going in the inner sphere. Like I said, I'm probably getting a lot of this wrong. And they went off and formed their own things. There'd be different houses, like, or clans rather, stuff like Clan Smoke Jaguar, Clan Ghost Bear, Jade Falcon, Clan Wolf, stuff like that. And these guys are really big into cloning. So a lot of these people would be bred specifically for mech warriors. But they'd also breed specific type of warriors who would wear suits, kind of like Iron Man, and they'd be like called elementals, and they were smaller personal mech units that could take on a mech, not necessarily toe-to-toe, but could take it down with a well-coordinated attack. So, anyway, I thought this was the most fucking badass thing ever. Now, I'd seen the Battletech cartoon on TV when I was a kid with the whole No Guts, No Galaxy, and maybe I'll post a link to an episode and maybe the beginning of MechWarrior 3 to show just how much I've gotten wrong with this. But either way, I thought the world was really, really, really fascinating. And my friend Thorsten, at the time, this big angry German guy, got me into it. And my friend John. And I'm thinking, man, this is really, really, really cool. And we started learning about some of the history behind some of the clans. I took a real liking to the clan Ghost Bear. Actually considered getting one of my first tattoos as the Ghost Bear insignia, but I've kind of fallen out of love with the franchise, and I'll get to that a little bit later. So either way, we started really kind of getting into this, and we'd start to pick up some of the slang from the universe. I mean, hell, even today I still use the word chummer to describe people and stuff like that, and that's at a Shadowrun, but they'd call people like Sibco, stuff like that, and you'd get words like AF, which I guess it was slang for affirmative, stuff like that. And so when I got into this game, I then found out there was a board game component called Battletech. And Battletech would be played on these six-sided hex maps, and you could build different terrain, you'd have different mechs out there, because the MechWarrior game, they only gave you 18, but there are like hundreds, I swear, of different various mech combinations. The most famous mech, the one you're probably most familiar with, is the one called the Timberwolf, but I knew it as a Mad Cat, once upon a time, which is a clan mech, which has the two rocket launchers, or missile launchers, rather, on its shoulders, plus the two big laser guns, or PPGs, on its arms with the cockpit in the middle and the two legs. And that's the one most people think of when they think of Battletech. Maybe they might think of the Atlas, which is this huge 100-ton mech, which basically just looks like a big dude, but this thing can, like, punch through stuff. Or maybe another mech that's known as a Summoner. I knew it as a Thor, which is a clan design. Clan mechs are typically better because they're lighter. They have things called double heat sinks, because in the MechWarrior universe, heat is everything. You have to manage how much heat your weapons are generating. If you generate too much, you will blow up. So a laser will generate more heat than a machine gun, but a machine gun carries ammo. Ammo can blow up, whereas lasers can't. So it's a risk-reward thing, and clan armor is typically lighter, because the mechs come in different weight classes. Like, a 30-ton mech is the lightest of the light. Like, the Volkswagen Beetle of the MechWarrior world, whereas an Atlas, as I mentioned, is like 100-ton. Think of that as, like, the battleship, a tank, if you will, of that world. And it's meant to be the heaviest and the slowest, but also can carry the most weapons and armor. But there'd be other little details, like you can add something that's called an XL engine, which takes the engine of your mech and spreads it across your torso, which means it now takes up three critical slots. If you're an inner sphere mech, you can put that right. I'm trying to remember whether it was inner sphere that came up with the XL or if it was the clan. Either way, I'm not 100% sure of that. But basically, your mech could be taken out easier if it had an XL engine, because it was spread across the three areas. If your mech had its engine in one area, it was a little harder to hit. So, anyway, so like I said, getting into the video game, think it's really cool, find out about the board game. We start playing this thing at lunch, and I find out there's a program called, I think it was called Mech Tech or Mech Works, it was something like that. And it was a program that would have all the data from all the additions of the game that had come out so far, plus City Tech and Aerotech, which is like other vehicles. Like, you could design Aerotech Fighter, which is basically jets. Yeah, you can guess how much we fucked with that. But anyway, so we started getting this program and started building our own mechs. Now, we had to use the game pieces that were on the board, so you couldn't have a true mech printed out. We'd come up with some pretty ingenious designs. Like, okay, so a 30-ton mech can carry this much ammo, this much armor, but maybe if we crank up the size of the engine, we can have this thing be a little, basically hell on wheels, so to speak. Put, like, say, I don't know, like an AC-10 or an AC-20 on it, which is an autocannon. Put a bunch of ammo in it and just make it really, really, really fast so nobody can hit it. Okay, cool. Then I kind of got to thinking. So, MechWarrior 3, like I said, had been out at this time. So was MechWorks. So I'm thinking, I wonder. So I would take the different weight classes of mech, like I said, all the way from 30 tons all the way up to 100 tons. I'd take that into MechWarrior 3, thinking, all right, I wonder if the design I made in MechWorks will work in here. So I'd find my favorite chassis for that particular weight class. Most often it was the Thor or the Mad Cat, which is like, the Thor was a 70, the Mad Cat was a 75 tonner. And whenever we played BattleTech at Lunch, we always had, okay, you can have this many tons on your team, divide however you want. You could have 100 ton mech, or you could have a few smaller ones, stuff like that sort of thing. So by exporting some of the data from the board game to the video game, I can field test my mechs and see how they perform. I thought this was amazing. And this is kind of where the douchebag wars start. So my friend Thorsten would play his game. My friend Jarrett would play his. My friend John would play his. And occasionally we'd play over the phone, be it that time it was the MSN Gaming Zone. Or we might get fortunate enough to go to a friend's house and bring our computers over. Which, in 1999, bringing your computer and these giant-ass CRT monitors, these giant-ass towers, it was a pain in the ass, to say the least. I actually did drop a monitor down a flight of stairs once. That was fun. And a $500 mistake. But, moving on. So, eventually, it kind of became this arms race of us being giant assholes to each other, where each day at lunch, things would get a little bit worse. Now, me and him would play most often over MSN, or we play via dial-up. And it was here that I discovered how much of an ass this kid really was. Don't worry, Jared, I fucking love you. But I found out you could do something called an alpha strike, which is where you fire all your weapons at once, spike your heat, hope to God you don't blow up. Jared had found that if you stand in just the right amount of water, you could alpha strike and not blow up. And if you had the right weaponry, you could almost have auto-firing lasers, which we actually did kind of figure out. If you had a bunch of double heat sinks, ER medium lasers, which I think at that point did 7 points of damage or something along those lines. If you stood in water and didn't alpha strike them, or you could alpha strike, but it would take a few seconds for your weapons to cool off so you could fire again, you could, in theory, chain fire these things. So what me and him eventually began to do was we would play on this one map, and he would run specifically to this body of water, and it was always a race on who would get there first. Either the person with the fastest engine or the person with the most amount of jump jets would get there quickest. And the person would stand in the water. Now, you would be at a disadvantage because you were in the water. We could very openly see you. But you could fire your weapons a lot more often. But we'd also could see you, but hitting you was a bit of a trick. But I could also stand farther away with a weapon like, say, a Gauss rifle, which is basically a piece of metal being propelled at retardedly fast speeds, or I could use missiles or a PPG, which is like a particle projection cannon, whatever. And eventually it would just be me and Jared. He'd stay in the water, I'd stay in the water, and we just exchange fire from hills to the lake, basically back and forth, back and forth. But then we discovered the wonders of limb targeting. In the MechWarrior game, you can get something called a targeting computer, which basically allows you to see different limbs and different damage you've done to a mech. And basically, it makes targeting them a fuck of a lot easier, and it's easier for your lance mace to, I think, get them. But I think that was maybe something called a tag computer. I don't remember. But in the RPG/board game, the targeting computer would take so much off your target numbers, so you could target limbs. But the rule was you could never target the head. Or if you would, you were at like a ridiculous disadvantage, something like a -4 or a -6. Either way, hard as shit. So I'm like, oh, okay. So we started figuring out what was the value of armor on legs. Because not a lot of people in the board game or the car or the video game would think about leg armor. So, okay. So what if I took a bunch of ER medium pulse lasers? Pulse lasers are the more continuous blast ones. And how much heat could I get away with? How much firing time could I get if I linked them together like an alpha strike and just held down the fire button? Basically, I'd be just constantly burning through their armor. And this is when me and Jarrett discovered we could kill mechs in MechWarrior 3 very, very, very easily. I think it was 7 ER medium pulse lasers, a shit ton of heat sinks on a 70-ton mech. Nothing could touch you. You could take out an Atlas or a Direwolf mech, which are these giant 100-tonners, death on two legs. You could take them out in about 3 seconds. Or you could blow off their arms, or you could blow right through their cockpit armor. Basically, you could nuke them. You basically had a giant walking Death Star laser. So, as you can guess, the war has escalated. Me and Jarrett would, once again, play this over MSN, or we'd take it out at on the lunch table. Then, I'm like, you know what? I'm a little sick of losing. Jarrett, he's a smart kid. This kid's fairly smart. He's smarter than I am. So one day, I decide, you know what? I'm going to win today. I'm going to make the coolest 70-ton mech I've got. So I spent hours in the mech lab designing this mech. I'm like, all right, cool. Well, what can I do? Okay, so I know the limb trick works. Okay, cool. So what if I scale back my armor on my back but keep the front armor? Okay, got that, but I need to move fast. So I'm sitting there literally crunching numbers. If anything, role-playing games will make you significantly better at fucking math. As I talked about in Shadowrun, it all comes down to math. So I'm thinking, all right, cool. I'm ready to go. I've got ER medium pulse lasers. I think I've got an autocannon on there, maybe like an AC-10. No, I think it was an LB autocannon, which an LB is basically, it's a mech shotgun. Which is, oh yeah, that's another part of the douchebag wars. Me and Jared, we eventually got sick of shooting at each other with lasers. Okay, so let's bring an ammo to this. And we discovered the autocannon, which is basically a giant machine gun for mechs, but not a machine gun. You can get machine guns, but they're only good against smaller vehicles. More like they just annoy mechs. But the autocannon is basically, it's a mech-scaled machine gun. And they come in AC 5, 10, 15, and 20, which is the scale of damage. So, we discovered that the LB autocannon, like I said, the mech shotgun, generates shake. So, you might be wondering, well, what the hell does that mean? So when you hit somebody, you shake their gyro, which is enough to put the mech off balance, maybe knock it over and fall flat on its face. Do something you don't want to do. Jared, in his infinite asshole wisdom, figured out if you put, I think it was like 5 LB 5 or something. Either way, it was a really small number and an autocannon. You could overload my gyro system. There's not a lot I can do. Plus, it's like a shotgun. So it's like getting pelted in the face with like gravel. There's not a lot I could do. It cracked my cockpit armor. I couldn't see what I was doing. It might have hit a vital system. Basically, I'm in for a bad time. So he figured out how to do this, rush me, and then basically pick me off at leisure. Because the amount of times he would hit me, I couldn't get back up. So that happened. Then I got mad. So back to where I was before. So, like I said, spent hours in the mech lab crunching numbers. I'm looking over some of the different mech warrior source books I've got this time. This is when the internet was still fairly young, so there wasn't a whole shit ton of information out there for some of the roleplay stuff. But I'm looking over these things, going, all right, cool. Well, what can I do? So I design what I feel to be my two-legged masterpiece, my 75-tonner. I'm ready to fucking rock. Either way, it was either 70 or 75 tons. Perfect mix of weapons, armor, and speed. Cool. And so we're playing at lunch. Me, John, Thorsten, and it's me and John versus Thorsten and Jared on the other team. And we have this giant map. And I'm thinking, all right, cool. We've got the advantage. We're in the trees. We're behind cover. It's harder for them to hit us. It's harder for us to hit them. But we've got the advantage of cover. Cool. So I decide, okay, I'm taking the lead. I've got this bitch. So walking through the forest. Cool. All right. And then I pass this rocky outcropping. Now, certain weapons can reach across so many different hexes. Basically, can you draw a line? Can I see you? Stuff like that. But it's all explained in the rules. Jared has, he's using a stock mech, I think. I can't remember what it was. I want to say it was like a Vulture, which is like a 65-tonner or a 60-tonner. Either way, he's got two Gauss rifles on this thing. Gauss rifles deal 15 damage. The head can take 12 or 14. Either way, one headshot and you're done. I'm behind three-quarters cover, which means my mech is mostly hidden. You can only see, as the rules state, the top of my head. Alright, so I'm thinking, alright, you know what? The odds of him hitting me are pretty small. I'm going to try and flank him. He knows I'm coming. I can run faster than him. I get into position. Jared's like, hey, what the hell? I want to eat my lunch. I'm going to take a shot. To this very day, I still don't know how the hell he pulled this off. He rolls perfect. Okay, he's rolled enough to hit. Cool. Where does he hit? Once again, you roll for where you hit, unless you're calling a shot. So he calls, so he rolls it. Where does it hit me? Snake eyes. Where's that? The head. Okay, what's he using to hit me? Gauss rifle. I'm fucking dead. One shot, something that I put hours and hours of effort into. Like I said, basically sat there and I know I ditched my homework that night because I wanted to beat him so bad. And then this kid just looks at me. This shit-eating grin. I'm talking a septic tank full of shit-eating grin. Looks at me and just smirks and goes, hey, Dodd, how was that? I'm like, I fucking hate you. And that was, I'm pretty sure, the last time I actually played Battletech with him. Now, we'd still play the computer game now and again until MechWarrior 4 came out, and I hated that one. But, yeah. My proud career as a member of the Inner Sphere was all brought to a crashing end through one lucky shot. 15 damage to the head. Nothing I could do. And I statistically had the advantage. Basically, this was his Death Star shot. And he got it. And I was pretty much a spoiled sport with it. But I did, even years later, he'll still make fun of me about it. In fact, I'm probably going to tag him on Facebook for this. But he was probably my greatest mech warrior opponent. I mean, I used to play a lot of kids on the MS Gaming Zone and do fairly well, actually. I think, if anything, Jarrett kept my head in in computer gaming. I remember playing Counter-Strike with him, Rainbow Six Rogue Spear. We had a number of awesome Jedi Knight 2 matches, which are still referenced to this very day. But still, it was a fun time playing with John Thorsten. I also had other friends that had played with us, like Brad, his brother Gavin, who's unfortunately no longer with us. But it was a really, really, really good time, and we all used to have just fun just cracking numbers. And you'd think we were doing fucking math homework. No, we'd be sitting there at lunch with blank mech sheets, just cracking numbers, going, "Hey, man, do you think if I did this, this might work?" Basically, we turned math into combat, and it was a friggin' blast. I have a huge respect for the BattleTech universe. I actually did a show on Twig a couple of years ago with a girl named Iron Liz, where we talked about the MechWarrior universe. I'll actually link that. I'll link that episode post to you if you want to find out more about the universe. But it's really cool. It's under a new company called Catalyst Game Labs. They control the Shadowrun license. They control the MechWarrior BattleTech license as well. Haven't played since Dark Ages. Dark Ages was like when they brought in new minis and they changed how the world worked in BattleTech after the Clan Wars. It's like all technology was lost and now the mechs are more primitive, but they're more brutish. And I'm thinking, okay, this is fucking dumb. I just learned this history. I'm done with it. And I honestly haven't been back in a number of years up until I did that show with Liz. And even then, I felt so lost. And that's what I hate. When you get invested in an RPG, you like it, but then you come across something that just annoys you so much, you just kind of walk away from it. I don't know, maybe we'll try it out on Terrible Warriors. I have my reservations because it is such a lore history RPG, but it's really cool. If you can get the BattleTech to go with it, then it's a real friggin' blast. In fact, if we ever live streamed a board game, that'd probably be the one I'd do. Because it can be really, really visual, and plus seeing the hexes on the map and everything. So, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of Botched Roll. Thanks for kicking my ass, Jared. Even years later, I still haven't let it go. So, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and hope to God you don't roll a natural one.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.